Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
What lies ahead in the struggle to keep the sacred wildlands for all future generations? Will compromise ultimately lead to a compromised landscape? Will changing a few definitions cloud the pure vision? There is a real world assembly of opposing viewpoints meeting in the tall trees of the great forests. It's time to talk. We continue our discussion with George Nickus after this short break. We now continue our discussion about the future of America's wilderness with the Executive Director of Wilderness Watch, George Nickus. It's a very clever strategy that's been used in so many different arenas right now in terms of management, ownership, transfer of ownership of our public lands. And it's so subtle, and it very often is couched in such a manner that it all sounds perfectly logical and reasonable. But unfortunately, the outcome is, again, a diminution of the real protections that the Wilderness Act and other legislation has provided for our public lands. Well, that's why you've really raised a clarion call right now in terms of this letter asking for a moratorium. Let's talk about why that is so important to you at this time.
The reason that it's so important right now is because we are facing a host of bills that are being rushed through Congress as we speak, really, to try to get a whole slew of these bills passed. I mentioned four of them in particular a minute ago in Idaho, and two of them in Idaho, one in Nevada and one in Utah. And we're very concerned that what often happens in Congress, especially as you get toward the end of a congressional session, is members of Congress start attaching some legislation to other pieces of legislation in order to hurry up and get it through, legislation that on its own may not be able to garner enough support to get passed, like some of these wilderness bills. But if they attach it to some other bill, like an appropriations bill or some other popular bill, maybe it's funding the war in Iraq, or maybe it's funding some sort of homeland security provision, then they'll attach their bill to that, and it makes it basically veto-proof. It makes it so that everybody's going to vote for it, whether they like it or not, because of the legislation it's attached to. And we're very concerned that we're going to see these very egregious public lands bills attached to legislation that is sort of must-pass legislation in Congress, and it will get rushed through. And unfortunately, Sydney, there are a handful of conservation organizations that are supporting these bills that have decided that being able to put the wilderness label on some of these additional lands, regardless of what might be inside the can, they want the wilderness label on there, and they're willing to take all of these other bad provisions, all of these public land disposal provisions, etc., in order to get some wilderness designated. And it's their support for these bills that is being used by some of these members of Congress to put enough greenwashing on things that they think they can get the bills passed. And we're just asking our colleagues to take a time out. Let's pull back from pushing these very destructive bills, these very harmful bills, and let's have a little more discussion within our community about these. They're very divisive within the conservation community, and that's the really unfortunate part as well about it, because it is causing a lot of splintering within a movement that doesn't need splintering. But we're asking that if we could just get a timeout on some of these bills to talk through some of these deleterious provisions And hopefully, you know, we may even have a better Congress to work with in the future on some of these things. And so if we just take a time out now, maybe we can fix some of these harmful provisions, we can get rid of them, and we can promote good, solid wilderness bills that don't compromise a lot of other public land values.
Let's say that we could have that discussion behind closed doors. What would you throw on the table? What do you feel needs to be discussed? Let's talk about maybe two or three points.
I think we have to stop compromising the public land law gains that we've made in the past, specifically the Wilderness Act. We need to stop allowing this chipping away, this creeping degradation of that law, and make sure that wildernesses that are added in the future don't come in with a lot of baggage that is harming the wilderness system. We have public land laws that deal with things like land exchanges and ways that local communities who need some public land, maybe for a waste disposal site, maybe for a public park, maybe for a fire station, who knows what. We have laws on the books that provide for those kinds of things to be considered and taken care of in a way that protects the public interest. We don't need to be undercutting those laws and skirting those laws with legislation. The reason it's often done with legislation is because a lot of these provisions wouldn't pass the smell test. And if they had to go through any sort of public scrutiny and public process, they'd be seen for what they are. But if you can rush them through a legislative process, you've gotten around all those other concerns. So if we could just come to some consensus about the need to uphold the sanctity of all of these public land statutes that people have worked so hard to establish over the years and keep those in place and not compromise that through these public land bills, then I think we can make a lot of progress. You know, conservationists have always had a lot of disagreements about what ought to be designated as wilderness. But we didn't argue about what wilderness is. And now in these bills we're starting to argue about what wilderness is. And we're allowing all kinds of things that aren't consistent with wilderness to be included. We've always held that public lands were sort of a sacred trust handed down to us and that we need to pass on undiminished to future generations. That's been one of the bedrock underpinnings, philosophical underpinnings of the conservation movement. And yet that seems to be going out the window. And I think we need to sit back and think about what it is that we're trying to achieve with all of these bills and how we can do it in a way that doesn't begin to compromise the very foundation of what makes America so great and what has always made the United States a real leader in world conservation, and this, the whole notion of our public lands, our public domain, and our Wilderness Act, and our Endangered Species Act, and these kinds of laws that have really, you know, made our country stand out. Before we start compromising those away, we ought to have a discussion about what it is we're giving away and why.
I guess my concern is the fact that I think you're up against a really difficult 6 weeks ahead here, because they think there's a huge momentum that's going to move forward to get a lot of this legislation, and that these very likely are going to go through the process you've defined. They're going to be attached to larger bills, and what do you think the real chances are? I mean, I can certainly appreciate your thought. You basically are kind of saying, let's pull these out, be aware. There's a chance there could be a change in November, at which point let's regroup and move forward. But what do you think is really going to happen?
Well, I mean, part of the problem is, of course, almost, you know, some of these bills, in fact, I don't know that any of them have ever had a field hearing. I don't think any of them have had a hearing out in the field, which is a very common thing for public lands legislation. Some have had very abbreviated hearings in Congress. They're all being rushed through. I think that you're absolutely right that we're up against a tremendous challenge here, which is why folks have taken this unprecedented move of calling for a moratorium, and I think it's why, in a matter of just a few days, 80-plus organizations signed on to it. I think we understand you know, we face a tremendous challenge here, but it's not an insurmountable challenge. And I think that if people get on the phone to their senators in particular, because most of these bills are through the House and sitting in the Senate right now, get on the phone to their representatives, get on the phone to their senators, and tell them they don't want these bills to be considered, they don't want these bills to be passed, that they want a timeout on this kind of legislation. I think it's very possible to stop them, but we're not naive about the difficulty of that challenge. It is going to be huge. There's a lot of impetus behind them, and they're right now in Congress. The leadership of the various committees, et cetera, that get to decide what bills come up and which ones don't, are not particularly favorable toward wilderness, and liked many of these bills because they do many of the sort of destructive things that we've been talking about. But it's very possible to stop these things. It's just going to take some public outcry. It's going to take people standing up for their public lands, speaking out for their public lands, contacting their representatives in Washington, D.C., saying, I don't want these quid pro quo wilderness bills going anywhere.
Now, in your moratorium, you've literally outlined the four bills that you consider to be most critical. Why don't you go ahead and mention those, and then we'll follow that up with how people can find out more.
The four bills in particular, it's called the Central Idaho Economic Development and Recreation Act, CEDRA. And another one in Idaho is the Owyhee Initiative, and that's in southwestern Idaho. Another one is the White Pine County legislation for White Pine County in Nevada. The other is a Washington County bill in Utah, which deals with some of the area in southwestern Utah.
Now, at this point, you expect those to be attached to legislation that may be rammed through at the end of this legislative session?
It's hard to say, but it's very likely that that's what will happen in order to get them through, that they'll get attached to something else. They may all get bundled together and go along with a few other bills that people like. One of the things that sometimes happens in Congress, unfortunately, is that deals are made, and everybody agrees to hold their nose and let the other person's bill through if they'll hold their nose to let their bills through, you know. And there's those kinds of trades that are made. And what we're really asking is that they not make that kind of a deal with these bills. That we don't see anything in Congress that is good enough that it's worth allowing these bills to go through in order to let those other bills pass.
My effort here on the Wild Side News is to inform and let democracy move forward. And so, therefore, as this goes out to various players in the wilderness and public lands community, I encourage them to take a look at all sides and then act however you feel most appropriate. For people who wish to learn more of the specifics or to get more directly involved, what's the best way for people to do so?
Well, I'll give them a couple of ideas. One is they can get a hold of us here at Wilderness Watch, and you can do that by email at just wild@wildernesswatch.org. Call us. You can go to our website, get all the contact information you need. Our website is wildernesswatch.org. If you want to look at a briefing paper that deals specifically with these four bills and what they do, I would direct them to the Western Lands Project's website, which is westernlands.org, and you can get to the briefing paper on the quid pro quo wilderness bills from there, and there's a lot of good information about it. You can contact our office, and we'd be happy to talk with them more about these bills.
Well, George, I tend to lean your way that I think we need to be extremely cautious and make sure that we're not just moving ahead for the sake of moving ahead. These are really serious battles that are out there, and they're very well orchestrated, particularly from the other side, at chipping away at what we hold so sacred. So it might be a good time to hold fast and take a deep breath and see what happens with this upcoming election and have a great debate and talk about this and formulate our own strategy that is unified. I think that'd be a great way to move forward.
I think you're right about that. And, you know, I think it even goes beyond these particular bills and all, too. You know, there really is an effort afoot that is reshaping our relationship to our public lands and I think even to our government. The whole, with some of the budget mess that we're in and the defunding of public land agencies where, and again, by design, people are saying, let's cut out the funding for these agencies. Let's make them go out to the corporate world and basically beg for partnerships, beg for money in order to fund our public lands, whether it's keeping the campgrounds open or monitoring what's going on our trail systems or whatever it might be. There's just a tremendous effort to essentially get private industry deeper and deeper and deeper into our public lands management. And all of these bills we've been talking about are part of that whole scene. And I really think it's important that as a community, both as an environmental community and as a public at large, that we start thinking about what we want for these lands and what we're willing to do in order to protect them and how we're willing to change our public policies, both at the budgetary levels and in these very specific pieces of legislation, to ensure that we're going to keep our public lands public, and we're going to keep this great American heritage of public lands and wilderness alive for future generations.
Well, George Nickus, Executive Director of Wilderness Watch, I want to thank you so much for your thoughts here on the Wild Side News.
Sydney, it's been a real pleasure to be on your program. Thanks so much for giving us the opportunity to speak with you.
It's a unique moniker, mankind. As we see the toll taken on the wild beings, as whole systems struggle to exist, we have a lot of hard questions that need all of us to speak up and speak out about. That's what we do each Thursday and every day on the archives, when your voice of the earth speaks up for the wildness. This is Sydney Wildsmith saying adios until we meet again here on the Wild Side News.